From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to the Wednesday edition of Let the Bible Speak. I hope you'll stay with us as we continue with the first week of a brief new series of studies, Themes in Titus, thinking this week on the subject, The Faith of God's Elect. That message will come a little later, but first it's time for our daily devotional Bible study and thought for the day. The devotional today is on the subject, The Paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says, To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Paradise refers to a garden. The paradise of God is the garden of God. The expression is very obviously intended to carry our minds back to the book of Genesis and the Garden of Eden. In Genesis, paradise was lost in Adam. In Revelation, it is regained in Christ. In Genesis, the cherubim bar the way to the tree of life because of sin. In Revelation, the Lord opens up the way to the tree of life through the righteousness of Christ. To Christians struggling with the problems of life and the disappointments that meet us on every hand, what sweeter promise can there be than the assurance of a place in the garden of God? Be strong. Face the challenges of this life by faith in Christ. Do not compromise your testimony or try to come to terms with the world. Faith in Christ, according to 1 John 4, verse 4, means victory over the world. And overcomers have an assured place in the garden of God, the Eden above. What a place that will be. Christ has regained for us all that Adam lost, and he has delivered us from the very possibility of ever losing paradise again. For all his people, the garden of God will be first and foremost a place of life. There the tree of life blooms forever. There is no downside to life in paradise. There the light of life casts no shadows. In God's eternal Eden, we will live in peace, in purity, and in perfect joy, for there we will live in uninterrupted fellowship with Him. Christ and His people will never be separated, and there will be nothing to mar their everlasting enjoyment of each other. We have only two questions to answer. Will I be there? And second, am I now living amid the darkness of earth in the light of heaven? To be able to answer those questions in the affirmative is the essence of true salvation. Our thought for the day is from Richard Baxter, the English Puritan. Heaven will pay for any loss we may suffer to gain it. But nothing can pay for the loss of heaven.
Amen.
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church. It's a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas' report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas' expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches. Yesterday we showed that in speaking of the faith of God's elect, the Apostle Paul was teaching that there is a body of truth that is revealed by God and received by all His elect people to the saving of their souls. That raises the matter of the essential truths of the gospel, basic themes that Paul sums up under four heads. Today we start with the first of these, God Himself. For everything in the gospel starts with Him. In this epistle, he dwells on the basic themes of the gospel. God, grace, godliness, and glory. Those are the four great themes that he here expounds as the fundamentals of the faith of God's elect. He starts with God. Why? Because everything has to start with Him. That's where creation started, isn't it? In the beginning, God. That's where life itself came from. He is the creator of it. That's where salvation comes from, just as truly as creation. So the new creation starts with God. God spoke and it was done. Similarly, in the new birth, in the new life, it starts with God. This is something that's very often overlooked in gospel preaching. You start at the very basis. It's with God. And this is the most fundamental truth of all. God is. And He is what the Bible and the gospel say He is. That's God. Now, when you stop to think of it, what can you say about God with any confidence? What can I say about God with any confidence? All across the world there are innumerable religions and philosophies and theories and ideas. And they all say this about God and that about God and the other thing about God.
How on earth is it possible for any man to say anything meaningful or right or true about God? And the answer should be abundantly clear and plain. There should be no disputing this. The only thing that we can say about God is something that God has first said about himself and has made it known to us. Cornelius Van Til, the great apologist out of Westminster Seminary, now with the Lord. He's the man who produced what are called presuppositional apologetics. If you don't understand that, just grin and say hallelujah. You'll get to heaven just as well without understanding it. And I say that as somebody who greatly admires the system. But Van Til used to say that when God created man, he created him to be not the interpreter of God, but to be the reinterpreter. To think God's thoughts after him. To say about God what God said about himself. And if that was true in the initial creation, how much more true is it today in this fallen world where men's minds are darkened by sin and their hearts are corrupted by iniquity, where we would rather believe the lie than believe the truth, when the light that is in man is darkness. In this situation, how much more do we need to stick to what God says about himself? God is, and God has spoken. Those are the two fundamental postulates of all Christian theology. God is, and God has spoken. There is but one true and living God. Jeremiah 10, verse 10 says that Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his great high priestly prayer in John 17 and verse 3 said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." The Apostle Paul spoke to the newly converted people in Thessalonica and he said, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." There is but one living and true God. I want you to understand that. The Bible knows nothing of this mangling of words and this stupidity that is taken to be so politically correct and that it has invaded even the vocabulary of professing Christians. And you'll even have evangelicals standing up making common cause not only with papists but with cultists and with heathens. And they will talk about people of faith. What on earth are they talking about? People of faith? Hindus believing, if I'm to believe this Bible, they believe in devils, they worship devils, and they're people of faith. And then, of course, we have those wonderful medical studies, all the stupidity that people will believe, that we have found that if you're one of these people of faith, you hear better. Seems to say it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe, just as long as you've some belief system, you're going to heal better. It may be that positive thinking does have some good to do in the body, but all the positive thinking about the devil in the world is going to damn the soul. Not going to save it. Atheism is folly. The fool hath said in his heart, "There's no God." Polytheism is a lie. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools when they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Idolatry is a damnable heresy. Listen, God is what he has said he is. I've been interested in reading through the prophecy of Isaiah again, how the Lord emphasizes, "I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none else. I am God." And then along with that, there is a series of texts in which he says, I declare. Who else can declare? Who can declare the beginning or the end? Who can say anything about anything at all of any significance? Who can talk about God? Who can talk about creation? Who can talk about the end? Who can talk about heaven? Who can talk about hell? Who can talk about the soul? Who can talk about the needs of man? Who can say anything about the salvation of the soul or the well-being of the soul? Who can say anything? And he says, summon all your idols. What have they ever had to say that's a word of truth? What light or sight has ever come from a false god? None whatsoever. He says, I declare, and none else. Oh, that we would understand this. This is the fundamental truth of the whole gospel. God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He has revealed Himself fully and finally in the person of His Son. This is where the gospel gets utterly exclusive. Utterly exclusive. I remember when Dr. McClelland was on a nationwide television program up in Canada before the first papal visit. And he was opposing it. And he was on this panel with an Anglican priest, a Roman Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and of course he was there. He was meant to be the kid that was going to be burned. But it turned out otherwise, of course. Man did it ever. But I remember the Jewish rabbi just turning to him and looking at him and saying, Frank, are you saying that unless I come to Jesus Christ, unless I become a Christian, I will not be saved? He had obviously never met anybody who would ever tell him such a thing. All the apostate liars he had ever met masquerading as Christians had told him, as long as we're all sincere in what we believe and do all the best we can, we're going to make it there. And now he's meeting somebody who takes this Word of God seriously, this Bible seriously, and says the truth. God has revealed Himself fully, finally, utterly, exclusively in Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in His Son. That's the final revelation. He is the Logos. He is the Word of God. He is the full and final, complete self-expression of God. God's revealed truth about Himself is all in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's one way of knowing that Islam is a satanic lie. There's no prophet with a new revelation after Christ. He's God's last word. So Muhammad was not God's prophet. Neither was Joseph Smith or any other professed vehicle of a new revelation. John said, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And that's where the gospel starts. It starts with God. Obviously then, it has to immediately go to grace. Because as I indicated this morning, when you think of how great God is and how insignificant we are, only grace can bridge the gap. Grace, the next obvious theme that Paul takes up. You see, the great question that faces all mankind, the Bible raises it. Job chapter 9 verse 2, Job asked his so-called comforters, how should a man be just with God? How should a man be just with God? They didn't like the question. I know they didn't like the question because they blethered. And they went on and on and on, multiplying words and accusations against God's servant when he was already deeply afflicted. But they never took up that question until chapter 25, when one of them simply repeated it. In other words, they were saying, we have no answer. How shall a man be just with God? Now, there are people, of course, who try to give answers. And there's a whole lot of people who tell you how to be saved and how to have peace with God and how to live right and how to die right. In my first church in a little place called Dunmurry, outside of Belfast, Northern Ireland, there was one woman who started coming in. She wasn't saved. She went on for quite a while unsaved. We would pray for her. I would visit with her. I witnessed to her. She was visibly moved. Until the Lord finally opened her heart and brought her to Christ. And when she entered into the peace of the gospel, she told me about going to see her Episcopal minister. She was a member of the Church of Ireland. That's the Episcopal Church in Ireland. Her minister was nothing less than a cannon. He hadn't enough pop to blow the cork out, I'll tell you that. I mean, the man was an absolute apostate. She went to him under conviction of sin. She asked him, what should she do? And he put his hand in his pocket. And he gave her a cigarette. And he told her to go and smoke that and calm her nerves. Any wonder we hate apostasy and apostates? But how can a man be just? How can I be saved? And how can I be sure I'm saved? This little epistle of Titus gives the answer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.